Merry Christmas. My name is Paul. I'm one of the pastors at Soul Church that meets in this building at nighttime. Welcome to Cornerstone, welcome to Soul, and especially if we have any visitors here today, and I'm sure we do, a special welcome to you. It's great, isn't it, to meet on Christmas Day together as brothers and sisters to celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we look at this passage, if you feel comfortable, please join with me in prayer. Our Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come, that we can celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that everything that was written down, that happened some 2,000 years ago, is written down for us to read about. And I pray, Lord, as we look at this passage today, that you would speak to us afresh. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is so merry about Christmas? We don't call any other holiday or festival merry. We don't say, have a merry Australia Day or have a merry Queen's birthday. What's so merry about Christmas? As I'm sure you know, the word merry means cheerful, lively, or joyful. And for many of us, this last month has been anything but merry. I don't know about you, but my last month has been pretty hectic. We've been stressed trying to get all the presents together, trying to figure out what to buy Uncle Bob besides a pair of socks and a packet of cashews. We've been worried about the Christmas lunch, how that's all going to come together, and how on earth we're going to squash the extended family into the rumpus room for 7 nights. You know, we've been anxious that we're going to hit the credit card limits before the checkout lady finishes scanning the presents. The lead up to Christmas can be anything but merry. And sometimes the day itself is not much better, is it? We can find ourselves curled up on the sofa in pain from eating too many prawns. There's tears and screaming because the scooter is the wrong colour. But on a more serious note, Christmas can be a very hard time for people, perhaps even for you. A time where the tensions in the family just seem to come back. It can be a lonely time. Christmas can be a fresh reminder that your loved ones are no longer with you. And so the question, what's merry about Christmas, is a very real one for a lot of people. Yet Christmas is a merry time. It is a time to be exceedingly joyful. It's a time to celebrate. It's a time to rejoice with the church, with family and friends. Why? Why should you be merry this Christmas? Because your God has come. Your Saviour has been born. Despite whatever happens today, you can and you ought to be merry because your God has come and your Saviour has been born. And that's what this little passage here so wonderfully reminds us of. Please look with me from verse 18 if you have a Bible. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Mary would have most likely been a young teenage girl, between 12 and 16. And we're told here that she was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, this wasn't an engagement like our modern day engagement. It was a betrothal. Betrothals in the first century were legally binding agreements to marry. And they were serious. Even though they weren't married, they would even call their fiancé husband and wife. If one of the parties slept with someone else during this betrothal period, they would be guilty of adultery. If one of the parties wanted to break off the betrothal, they would have to get a legal divorce and divorce their spouse. And that's exactly what we're told Joseph plans to do. Before Mary and Joseph were married and had any sexual union, the strangest thing happened. Mary became pregnant. Now, of course, Joseph assumes the worst. He assumes that Mary has gone off and slept with another man. And it's a fair assumption, right? I mean, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Your fiancé is pregnant. You didn't sleep with her. The conclusion? Someone else did, right? And the right thing for Joseph to do, according to the culture of the day, was to break off the betrothal and divorce Mary. That would have been the expectation for Joseph. And that's what he plans to do. He decides that he will divorce Mary. But we're told because he was a good man, he wanted to do it quietly. Or in other words, outside the courts. So Mary doesn't have the title adulteress hanging over her head for the rest of her life. But unbeknown to Joseph at this time, he was completely wrong. Mary had not committed adultery with another man. Yes, she was pregnant, but no man was involved. It says in verse 18, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. You know, we often speak of the virgin birth as the great miracle by which Jesus came into this world. But actually, there's nothing very miraculous about Jesus' birth at all, is there? I mean, it was pretty normal, it was pretty natural. Perhaps the only thing miraculous about Jesus' birth was that he didn't pick up some disease as he was born in a stable. The great miracle by which Jesus came into this world was his conception. That was absolutely miraculous. We're not given precise details, but we're told that the Holy Spirit worked inside Mary's womb so that one of Mary's ovums was brought to conception. And again, no man was involved. This was entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're familiar with how God has worked in history, your alarm bell should be going off right now. Throughout history, miraculous conceptions were signs that God was about to save his people in a powerful way. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Samson, Samuel, John the Baptist were all conceived by women who were barren and unable to have children. They were barren, God healed their bodies, they fell pregnant, and God used that child to rescue his people. Miraculous conceptions equals God is about to save. Here, we have a miraculous conception. But it's a miracle that outdoes all the others. We don't have a barren woman who's pregnant. We have a virgin who's pregnant. This is, without doubt, a huge sign to you and I that God is about to save his people in a very powerful way. The miraculous conception also teaches us that there's something different about Jesus. He's human. He's conceived in Mary's womb. But there's something different about him. He's conceived by the Holy Spirit. So what's happening? There's something different about Jesus. God is about to do something amazing and powerful. Everything is revealed in the next few verses. It says from verse 20, after he had considered this, that is, after Joseph considered divorcing Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what was said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And all of a sudden, this seemingly strange and unexplainable event makes sense. We're told that this is the event by which God was coming into our world to save you and I from our sins. It was prophesied by a prophet some 700 years before all this happened in Nazareth, that God would come into this world and that he would come by being born of a virgin. And that prophecy is fulfilled right here in Nazareth some 2,000 years ago. This is the event. Mary pregnant by the Holy Spirit, by which God came into this world. Which is why Jesus is also called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is human, yes, but he is much more than that. Jesus is God. He is God. He is not a God, but the God, the one and only God. The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who upholds the entire universe, the God who created you and me. Jesus is He. Jesus is God. And this is big, isn't it? Jesus is not just a good teacher we need to go to and learn good lessons from. He's not just a good healer we need to go to and to have our wounds healed. He's not just a good example we need to imitate in this life. Jesus is none other than God Himself, who has taken on humanity to be with us. In Jesus, our God has come. But why did He do it? Why did God come down to us and take on our humanity? Why would He do that? I mean, when you think about it, it's incomprehensible. Why would the Creator of all things, the all-powerful, wise, and independent God, put Himself in the womb of a teenage girl to be born as a fragile little baby, fully dependent on a mother's milk? Why would God ever do something like that? The answer is simple. He did it to save us. That's why. That's why God put Himself in that womb, to save you and me. And that's what Christmas is all about. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. That's what the word, the name means. That's why we call Jesus Jesus. Because he is the Lord who has come to save us from our sins. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's about how our God has come into this world to save us from our sins. Now, you might be here this morning and you might be finding this all a bit too offensive. Saving? I don't need saving, thank you very much. My life is pretty good. I'm perfectly fine as I am. The reason why some of us might find this offensive is perhaps because we haven't properly understood what sin is. We often think that sin is just that really bad stuff we do to each other. Murder, adultery, and so on. But we're told in God's word that sin is anything, no matter how big or small, anything which is contrary to God's law. You see, as our Creator, God has given us laws to live by. When we break those laws, we sin. When we hate a brother or sister, we break God's law and we sin. When we look lustfully at another man or woman, we sin. When we tell a lie, we sin. When we fail to love God with all our heart and mind and strength, we sin. And this is bad news, because we're all guilty of sin. You and I, everybody. And the punishment for breaking God's law is death. It's an eternal death, an eternity separated from God and everything that is good. It's an eternity of suffering in hell. And there's nothing we're told that we can do for ourselves. There's no amount of good works that we can do to fix the problem. We're guilty, and that's that. And I know that's offensive to some of you. I don't say it to be offensive. I say it because I care for you, and so does God. We're here this morning, not because God is a mean God and because he wants to unfairly punish us. We're here this morning because God is a loving God. He is a kind God. He is a gracious God. He is a God who is willing to forgive. We're here this morning because God came into this world not to condemn us, but to save us from our sins. It cost him everything. He took on our humanity by being born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life without sin in a hostile and broken world. And then he swapped places with us. Instead of us being punished for our sins, Jesus was punished for us. That's what the cross is all about. On that cross, Jesus was being punished for your sins. He died so we wouldn't. He died so that we could have eternal life. What's so merry about Christmas? Why should you be merry this Christmas? Why should you rejoice and be glad and celebrate? Because your God has come. Your Savior has been born. If you're with us this morning and you are a Christian, can I urge you today to make today a day of celebration? Today, a day of rejoicing and of being merry, because your God has come, your Savior has been born. What's more, what he came to do, he's done. He's died for you, and he has saved you from all of your sins. That is a reason to be merry. If you're with us today and you're not yet a Christian, can I ask you to please consider what is written in this passage? If what is written in these few verses is true, it changes everything. And I'm here to tell you and to testify to you today that it is true. God has come. His name is Jesus. He has died on the cross to save you from your sins. And now, if you believe in him and receive him as your God and your Savior, you will be forgiven of your sin and have eternal life with him. If you have any questions about this passage or about anything that I've said this morning, I invite you to come and speak with me, or David would love to chat more with you about Jesus. But for now, I'm going to hand it back over to David, and he's going to pray for us. Thanks.